The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I say this to you who are listening. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who treat you badly. To the man who slaps you on one cheek, present the other cheek too. To the man who takes your cloak from you, do not refuse your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and do not ask for your property back from the man who robs you. Treat others as you would like them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what thanks can you expect? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what thanks can you expect? For even sinners do that much. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what thanks can you expect? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. Instead, love your enemies and do good, and lend without any hope of return. You will have a great reward, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge, and you will not be judged yourself. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned yourselves. Grant pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and there will be gifts for you. A full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. Because the amount you measure out is the amount you will be giving back. The Gospel of the Lord. On this Sunday, the bishop has released a pastoral letter which is to be read in all the churches of our diocese. So instead of the homily, we will listen to this pastoral letter from our bishop. Pastoral letter from the bishop appointed to be read in all churches and chapels of the Diocese of Portsmouth on 24th February 2019, the seventh Sunday of the year. The title of the letter is Healing. Dear friends, especially those of you who are unwell, in the Gospels, Jesus went through towns and villages curing diseases and sickness, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news. The miracles Jesus worked revealed who He was as God the Son, the Messiah, our Savior, and the salvation He won for us by His death and resurrection. The heart of Jesus abounds in mercy, and the Church today continues a saving work through the sacraments and prayer, through teaching the truth, and through the pastoral care of the sick and afflicted. With this in mind, I want to discuss healing and to announce some new norms on healing ministry. Sickness, suffering, and death are consequences of original sin, which is why those who are unwell turn instinctively to God for healing. They look to heaven for help and find it in Jesus and His preferential love for the sick. The letter of St. James states that if anyone is ill, they should send for the priests of the church. Let the priests pray over them, anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick persons, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have committed any sins, their sins will be forgiven them. In other words, those in need of spiritual, psychological, mental, emotional, and physical healing can turn to Jesus. They can do this in Mass and Holy Communion, in the healing sacraments of reconciliation and anointing. in adoration and benediction, in the rosary, in pilgrimages, devotions, and the invocation of the saints, in prayers and blessings. Jesus told his disciples to heal the sick, which is why care of the sick and the service of hospitals, hospices, and care homes is central to the ministry of every parish. In return, those unwell, strengthened by uniting their sufferings with the Lord, can share in his saving work, obtaining many graces and blessings for others. Thus, the work of the Church complements, sanctifies, and enhances the work of doctors, nurses, psychologists, and carers. Let me now differentiate three overlapping ministries of healing. First, there is healing ministry proper, as just described. Secondly, and more rarely, there is deliverance ministry, that is, special prayer to remove obstacles, bondages, memories, entanglements, and addictions of a spiritual origin that hold a person back, impair their well-being, and prevent their restoration to spiritual and bodily health. And thirdly, very rarely, exorcism, that is, ritual prayer performed by a priest exorcist, expressly appointed by the bishop to cast out Satan and the powers of darkness, which in some manner have taken possession of a person's soul and faculties. In recent years, a beautiful development in the life of the Church has been the growth of healing ministry in its many forms, such as prayer groups that pray for healing or offer the laying on of hands. Some parishes organize healing masses and special liturgies with confessions, the sacrament of the sick, and benediction. Again, days of renewal with healing and deliverance ministry are scheduled here and there. In a parish, the chief responsibility for pastoral care lies with the parish priest. But the Holy Spirit also bestows charismatic gifts of healing, deliverance, and discernment of spirits upon individual members of the Church to prosper its life and mission. The Church takes care to discern these charisms, to order their use, and to form those called and gifted to use them with prudence and circumspection. No one may practice a ministry of healing, even less the ministry of deliverance, without appropriate permission and without appropriate formation. Such ministries, caring for the vulnerable, are to be exercised in accordance with the Church's teaching and discipline. To explain this in greater detail, I have issued for the diocese some norms on healing ministry and established a healing advisory group as a point of reference. You can read more about these in e-news and on our diocesan website. The norms are practical. For example, they remind us that in individual prayer for healing, national safeguarding policy requires that, in addition to the minister and the individual, at least one other person should be present. Sometimes the need for healing, say the healing of memories, becomes evident in those seeking to join the Church, or again in those growing in faith through spiritual direction. This places a unique responsibility on ministers of welcome, on catechists in the RCIA process, and on spiritual directors. One of the best loved sayings of the Lord is, "Ask and it will be given to you." Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. God wants to give in abundance the gift of his healing love, and so we rightly turn to him in our need. The anointing of the sick is a powerful sacrament, and in my own ministry, I have witnessed its miraculous help. If you or a loved one is frail, seriously ill, or due to go into hospital, make sure you let the priest know so that he can minister this sacrament to them. Pray constantly for the sick and also for the generous medical staff, relatives and friends who care for them, confident that, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, there are some things God will give us only if we ask him for them. Why not join us for the diocesan pilgrimage to Lourdes this summer? Make sure you have a communion set in your home with cloth, crucifix, and candles. And try to keep Sunday special as a day of humble service of the sick, the infirm, and the elderly. Indeed, turn often to Mary Immaculate, Health of the Sick, to our patron, St. Edmund, and to Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who spent many evenings and weekends visiting the sick, that they may inspire us. May they help us in joy to share our Christian faith with everyone around, especially the neediest, bringing people closer to Jesus Christ through his church. In Corde Jesu, Philip, Bishop of Portsmouth.